The content of this program is intended for people who are blind in print and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. And we're starting off in the merry month of June, so let's start off with the Dear Reader column from Jabin Boumeister, Chief Content Officer, Flipping for the Community. And it shows a picture of them over the grill with a bunch of pancakes breakfast. And considering I'm a member of the Durham Lions Club and we have an annual pancake breakfast, I can empathize with this. Flipping for Community. My pancake-making skills may have never been much to brag about. I rely heavily on a delicious recipe from our sister's publication, Taste of Home. The dash of salt makes all the difference. My pancake flipping skills are where things fall apart, literally. As a result of poor spatula skills, I volunteer to eat the burnt and broken pancakes my kids won't touch. The number of those is more than I want to admit. My poor pancake skills don't stop me from volunteering for kitchen duty at a recent charity event at our local elementary school. At pancake breakfast, spreading kindness. Folks in the community donate a canned good, and parents from the school serve up breakfast. I jumped into any task that didn't include a spatula. By the end of the day, I had met new neighbors, parents, and teachers. More importantly, the event offered a chance for the neighborhood to have a meal together and help the local food bank provide a meal to someone else in the community. We wonder how your community comes together. This year, we partnered with Dollar General for our annual Nicest Place in America search. We're working together from coast to coast to find stories about the towns where people join forces and prove what community is all about. Submit your story by opening the camera on your cell phone and pointing it to the black scan me box below, which I have here, or you can visit rd.com/nicest. And feel free to email me with your pancake cooking tips. My kids will certainly thank you. World of Good, Reason to Try to Smile. And there's a young man, obviously disabled, sitting in a wheelchair that is really not a wheelchair. It has tank treads, which means he can go places that you can't normally go in a wheelchair. For a travel blogger, Corey Lee, it was easier to explore Antarctica than some of the nearby parks and beaches in his home state of Georgia, where being in a wheelchair used meant rugged hiking trails were off limits. Not anymore. With the fundraising support of foundations working with the disabled, all-terrain power wheelchairs are now available in some state parks in Georgia, as well as in Colorado and Michigan, with more states likely to join. The treads on each action track chair allows those with mobility issues to traverse rocky trails, sandy beaches, and steep hills. As Lee told CNN, "It'll open a whole new world for me and for other wheelchair users." Looks like it might be kind of fun to tool around on this thing because it can go up and down hills. And he's in the middle of a beach right here, and the sand looks pretty deep, and he's just tooling right along. Everyday Heroes. And there's a picture of a large African-American man with a big yellow shirt and two, looks like they're Oriental young men, looks like one's probably about 8 or 9, maybe 10, and the other one is like he's 13 or 14, and they're holding a fishing pole. What a fish tale. These kids' fathers aren't around, so this dad takes him fishing every weekend. It was hard not to notice the 8-year-old boy across the street who stormed in and out of his own house. He did it often enough that a neighbor, William Dunn, wondered what was going on in his life, so Dunn asked him. "He told me that he didn't have a father," says Dunn, now 58, "and I realized there might be something I could do for him." That something was fishing, a passion Dunn's father had shared with him. Fishing always brought me peace, and it taught me how to be patient. When you're on the water, you can forget about your problems and just appreciate the moment. Dunn, who has 3 children of his own, got permission from the boy's mother to take him fishing. One Saturday afternoon on the water led to another, and soon he was teaching other kids in their Lakeland, Florida neighborhood how to rig a line, hold a pole, and reel in a big catch. That was 16 years ago. Since then, Dunn has taken groups of kids out almost every weekend to fish. Most didn't have father figures in their lives and had never fished before. Some were foster kids who had shuffled from one home to the next. They'd been through a lot, and they'd seen a lot, and their lives were difficult, Dunn says. But when they were fishing, all that faded away. Out on the boat, they'd be laughing and smiling and making new friends. I knew I was onto something. In the beginning, Dunn, Big Will, to the kids, spent a good chunk of his paycheck from his job selling tires to rent charter boats for kids. Then in 2018, he started the nonprofit Take a Kid Fishing Incorporated. He and a small group of volunteers have introduced more than 2,500 kids, most without fathers around, to the calming peace found on the water and the exhilaration of nabbing a fish. One of those kids was Jaden Pryor, who struggled emotionally when his father died in a car accident in January 2020. "He was really close to his dad," says Jaden's mother, Tara Poyer. "And the new younger siblings, he felt the need to take over the man of the house's role. He was trying to be strong for everyone and didn't show his emotion. I was wondering what to do to help him, and then I learned about Take a Kid Fishing." Jaden, now 13, has become a devoted fisherman, and credit's Dunn with helping him mature, while also being sure to mention that he once caught a shark with Dunn's help. "I hope he knows I mean it when I say thank you," he says. Just as important as the fishing are the relationship Dunn forms with the kids. "When Jaden was going through a rough patch, I let Will know that his grades were suffering and had a little talk with him," Tara says. Jaden came home and told her that Big Will had given him a sense of purpose, and she adds, "Jaden's grades have improved." Another regular angler, Bella Smith, says that Dunn emphasizes self-respect and mental toughness. "I'm able to forget about the past when I'm fishing and concentrate on something fun and positive," says Smith, 21, who is in a foster program for young adults while she takes automotive classes at a technical college. "Fishing is learning for life. I've learned that I deserve a better life than what I had. Whenever I feel down about something, I know it's time to go fishing." Dunn's old father passed away this past December. As a result, the fishing trips have taken on new meaning for him. "I have even more passion for it because I'm fatherless too. That's why he's always eager to watch the kids on the boat. There's nothing like feeling that first tug on the line and seeing a kid light up with a smile," Dunn says. "I feel lucky to witness that every weekend." What a blessed man. Three stories to make your day. Glad to hear it. Hair apparent, H-A-I-R. After two failed surgeries to remove a benign brain tumor in the pituitary gland, Melody Shahab, Gilbert, Arizona, started radiation treatment, a side effect that was she lost her hair permanently. "I don't mind being sick," she told today's parents, "but I mind looking sick." Her son, Matt Shahab, 27, soon offered to grow out his hair to make a wig for her. Melanie nixed the idea, but Matt insisted. Pointing to his golden locks, he joked, "Coming soon to a head near you." After Matt's hair grew 12 inches, he had it chopped off and sent it to Compassionate Creations, which creates customized wigs for patients suffering from hair loss. It was a hit. "The color is spectacular," says Melanie. "As for a son's gift, it sure fills your emotional cup." Cut to the chase. Derek Gotchi was outside a friend's home shutting the trunk of his GMC Yukon when a stranger jumped into the driver's seat and sped off in the Minneapolis night, with Gotchi's four children in the back, all under 5 years old. Luckily, the suspect had abandoned a stolen van nearby with the engine running. Derek jumped in and took chase. "I didn't know what to do," he told KTSP in Minneapolis. "I'm going after my kids." He caught up with the Yukon a few blocks later and slammed the back of it with the van, pushing it into an alleyway and pinning it against a fence. The suspect fled, leaving the kids unharmed. Told by police what her husband did, Deanna Gotchi added, "Yep, that sounds like my husband." The fun food truck. When they learned that children in their hometown of Frazeeburg, Ohio, were going hungry, Jason Watson, a phys ed teacher, and his wife Ann, and a school librarian, decided to bring food to the kids in the most fun way possible, a mint-colored ice cream truck. For the past two summers, the couple have served about 70 meals a week, delivering home-cooked lunches and ice cream to those in need. "Helping people is easy," Ann told the talk show Jennifer Hudson. "Find your passion, find what the need is in your community, and hit the ground running." Best pals. Nikki the turtle, and there's a picture of the head of a turtle coming out of its shell in her favorite spot under the porch with the worms. "When I first got Nikki, I was 10 years old, and she was about the size of a quarter. And we've grown together. Now I'm 80, and she weighs 5 pounds, and she's been my best friend through it all. Nikki lives in our backyard pond in the summer and has her own room and filtered kiddie pool in the winter. She's a yellow-bellied slider, but she's far from cowardly. She's actually quite social and curious. As the star of the show and tell for our 4 kids and 8 grandkids, she cranes her neck out of her shell to get a look at her fans. Nikki loves munching on the tomatoes and pretzels the neighborhood kids feed her, and she's even gutsy enough to steal a mouthful of dog food from time to time. On her 50th birthday," these turtles typically live 50 years or more, "we threw her a blowout party, complete with a gift any turtle would die for, her own in the ground pond. She is a good pet and a better friend. She keeps all my secrets. Nikki was in my lap the day after my wedding, and as we move from home to home, and she'll be there till the very end. That's kind of cool. Your true stories. Love is a hoot. Readers share the most clever, hilarious, and moving ways that someone has let them know they're loved. Pumpkin proposal. My boyfriend and I were carving pumpkins. After carving a lid, I found that mine was already hollowed out, with a diamond ring inside. I was thrilled at his proposal and flummoxed as to how to pull off placing the ring box in my seemingly untouched pumpkin. Years later, pumpkin carving remains a favorite, and my husband's trick is still a mystery. Harleyville, you too. My husband and I try to maintain a sense of humor about our shortcomings, like his refusal to admit he has a hearing problem. While driving along the highway one day, I read the road exit aloud, Harleyville, and he turned and said, I love you too. It's become an inside joke between us. Instead of I love you, we just say Harleyville. Holding each other up. My boyfriend Dean had a stroke at age 47. He needed therapy to use an arm and leg again. He was tired and depressed. But I encouraged him. One day he stumbled while we were walking down the hallway. I helped him straighten up and we continued. He sagged again, but I wouldn't let him fall. The more he seemed to be sliding down, the more resolved I was to help. Finally, he said, will you please stop holding me up? I'm trying to get on one knee and ask you to marry me. We've been married for 11 years. Cutting the mustard. I stepped away from making my turkey sandwich for just a moment. When I got back, my husband had added the mustard for me in the shape of a heart. It wasn't some grand gesture, but 9 years later, I still think about it and smile. From first date to 50 states. For my wife's 50th birthday, I signed 50 birthday cards and mailed them to friends and relatives all over the country to mail back to my wife on my behalf. This way she'd get a birthday card postmarked from all 50 states. My son drove from Oregon to Washington to have one postmarked in the Evergreen State. I even listed a few Holiday Inn managers. Really digging one another. Early in our marriage, my husband Bill and I worked different shifts and seldom saw each other. We'd leave notes on communicate, addressing each other and signing off with just our initials. One day, I came home to find our phone frozen and M, I love you, B, written in giant letters in the snow. I was touched by the sweet message and imagined the work it took to shovel out each letter. After 18 years of marriage, he is still the love of my life. Can't hide love. My husband once got me a credit card-sized I love you greeting card and hid it for him to run across. He returned the favor, and we've now been hiding it back and forth for years. Sometimes it stays hidden longer than others, like when he hid it in the pocket of my fleece jacket at the end of winter. License to love. I wrote a letter to my wife, Patty, every day while I was deployed. I signed each of them, Patty, I love you, Mike. Sometimes I'd abbreviate to P-I-L-Y-M. Once home, I had to buy a new vehicle registration. I chose custom license plates that read P-I-L-Y-M, which makes her smile every time I pull into the driveway. That's cute. That's actually from my hometown, too. Now that's an air kiss. I was attending a jump meet with several other skydivers, including Jerry, whom I was dating. When we jumped from 6,000 feet, Jerry grabbed hold of me and gave me a kiss, known as kiss pass if you do it while free-falling. I knew it was a way of telling me that he loved me. We got married 4 months later. Celebrity crushes. When our daughter sent out her wedding save the date card, she accidentally addressed ours to dad and guest. My husband and the jokester quickly lined up two other women, both A-list actresses, to take before asking me, his wife of 30 years. As his third choice, I told him it would take a grand gesture to get me to be his date. We joked for weeks until I came home to roses and a letter detailing all of the reasons he loves me and asking if I would be his date. It was a beautiful wedding. Shame those actresses had to miss it. Beloved blossoms. My husband Larry was excellent at giving unique gifts. One Christmas he gave me 100 daffodil bulbs of all kinds and colors. It is my favorite flower, tied to special memories of my grandmother. However, I have a black thumb and thought, oh no, am I going to have to plant all of these? Reading my mind, Larry assured me that planting was part of the gift. He planted all 100 bulbs all over our yard, and they blossom into a beautiful landscape each spring. Larry passed a few years ago, but each spring when the daffodils bloom, I know his love still surrounds me. Wow. The scoop on gelato. This Italian export has won fans all over the world. This is a good thing for hot weather. We all scream for ice cream, but for gelato, we swoon. Sculpted into smooth waves that beckon from behind glass counters, gelato is denser than ice cream, with flavors more pronounced. Because gelato is made with more milk and less cream, it's also lower in calories. In fact, its lower butterfat helps its natural flavors shine through. Though home freezers aren't available until the 1940s, frozen treats are far from modern marvels. Egyptian pharaohs served their guests ice sweetened with fruit juice, and Romans mixed crushed ice from Mount Vesuvius with honey. Many believe that the origin of gelato is actually a Chinese recipe from Marco Polo brought back from Italy around the end of the 13th century. It's called for milk and spices to be mixed with overcooked rice and snow. Gelato's Italian breakthrough came more than 200 years later, after astrologer Cosimo Ruggieri, who I knew a guy named Ruggieri, won a culinary contest surprised by the influential House of Medici with his fleur de latte, gelato, which omitted the rice. A smitten Catherine de' Medici later had rugged Ruggieri make his delicacy for a wedding to the future King Henry II of France. Rather than Ruggieri, it is Bernardo Buontalenti who is deemed the father of gelato. You've likely never seen his namesake, the gelato brand Talenti. In 1565, the already famous Florentine artist and architect created a dessert based on the creamy zabaglione, a type of whipped custard. He blended milk, egg yolks, and honey, then flavored the mixture with sweet wine, bergamot, lemon, and orange for the court of Catherine de' Medici, the Queen of France, to serve as the visiting King of Spain. Despite being a hit among royalty, gelato didn't become a treat for the masses until a Parisian café called Le Procope, which is still in existence today, started serving in 1686. Its owner, Francesco Posupio de Colatini, a Sicilian, also created the first ice cream making machine, which allowed for the large-scale production of the frozen dessert. Gelato then came to America in 1770 with Italian native Giovanni Bassiolio, but it didn't start to catch on until the late 1900s, when consumers began to explore frozen yogurt and other non-ice cream frozen dairy desserts. But it's far more than just dessert. Gelato can be enjoyed atop a breakfast pastry, brioche con gelato, or drowned with a shot of espresso, affogato. You could even find savory varieties such as red wine, olive oil, or tomato with basil. But those are far less surprising than this creative canapé on Toronto's Michelin star Don Alfonso 1890s tasting menu. Eel-infused gelato, served with wild rose tagliatelle, herbs, and caviar. True devotees can even attend Gelato University in Bologna, Italy, yes, really, where you'll learn the details of true gelato, how to create your own variations, and how to open and run a gelato shop if that's your dream. But most of us will be satisfied just enjoying the sweet stuff on a warm day. Dressed up with pieces of fruit, nuts, or sprinkles, or served straight, gelato is one of the hottest commodities on the frozen treat market. That's interesting. I never knew that it was less fat and things. All right, let's do 13 things. And the theme is keeping track of train travel. Number one, you might consider taking the train for your summer getaway. After all, you see only clouds at 35,000 feet. If you're lucky. The United States has the world's largest rail network at nearly 140,000 miles of track, with lines that go to many national parks or even across country. Number two, Europeans built the earliest rails in mines in the 16th century, with men or horses providing the power, mules too. The first steam engine powered and operated in Wales in 1804. Perhaps this is why the Brits are loco for locomotives. In the UK, at least 20 magazines are published about them. Number three, today's fastest trains travel close to 200 miles per hour, sometimes called bullet trains, the most famous among them Japan's Shinkansen lines. Many run on electricity, but the fastest of them all, the Shanghai Maglev in China, uses the attraction and repulsion forces of magnets to shoot forward, racing as fast as 285 miles per hour. The fastest American train, the Acela, hits 150 miles per hour in Connecticut and Rhode Island. Traveling by high-speed rail can actually be quicker than taking a plane, if you account for time spent at the airport. Train stations tend to be centrally located, while airports often lie outside of city centers. Another plus, rail travel is typically greener than going by air. The train ride from London to Madrid, for example, emits 95 pounds of carbon dioxide per passenger, compared with 260 pounds for the same trip by plane. The Orient, number five, the Orient Express, the setting of the best-selling Agatha Christie mystery, is a real route and is the most luxurious, featuring marble bathrooms and a live pianist in the bar car. But it'll cost you. The five-night Paris to Istanbul trip starts at $23,000. Number six. But there are cheapest famous railroads. Take the Pennsylvania, which along with the Reading, B&O, and Short Line will each cost $200 in Monopoly money. In the more recent Ticket to Ride, players link cities by rail and earn points based on the length of their routes. Number seven. One of the longest real-life routes in the Trans-Siberian Railway. Even express trains take nearly a week to wind through more than 5,700 miles between Moscow and Vladivostok in Russia, passing through eight time zones along the way. Once a week, a single rail car from North Korea connects to Vladivostok, making the Pyongyang to Moscow the longest rail trip you can take without switching trains. Number 8. Slow TV, or relaxing video, that plays out over the same amount of time as the event it portrays, is full footage of train trips using camera fixed to the front cars. The genre's first foray in 2009 ride from Oslo to Bergen in Norway has spun several spin-offs. You can watch on Prime Video, Pluto TV, or YouTube. Stream the view from one of Chicago's elevated trains or feast your eyes on fjords along Norway's Nordland line without leaving home. Number 9. Ghost trains give a spookier rail experience. One of the world's many purported phantom locomotives follows the same route as the train that carried the body of Abraham Lincoln from Washington, D.C. back to his home in Springfield, Illinois in 1865. An article from 1879 in New York's Rockland County Journal reads, "The shriek of its whistle and the clang of its bell strike terror to the hearts of those that hear them." The term ghost train also describes British trains that run infrequently at odd hours and often without passengers aboard. It's easier for their operators to run them at minimum nine than cut the lines. Number 10. A staple of old Western movies, railway holdups were common in the 1870s and peaked in the 1890s. Sometimes they even inspired the cinematic versions. The Great Train Robbery, released in 1903, echoed an actual event from 4 years earlier when Butch Cassidy and his crew of bandits struck a Union Pacific train using dynamite to blow open its safe before escaping on horseback. Number 11. Many nations involved in World War I relied on railroads to move troops, supplies, and other essentials. France, for example, transported around 1 million men and 400,000 horses to the front by rail during the first 2 weeks alone. Some of Great Britain's trains functioned as ambulances with cars converted into operating rooms where surgeons performed procedures in transit despite the bumping and swaying. Number 12. Between the 1920s and the 60s, Canada used trains as mobile schoolhouses that traveled between remote communities in northern Ontario. Children would walk, snowshoe, ski, or canoe to the train stop, then settle in for 5 days of intensive study. Then they'd get homework to do during the 6 weeks that would pass before the trains returned. Other trains that came through these areas had fully equipped dentist cars. Number 13. American Rail, while lagging by European and Asian standards, is receiving $102 billion in investment from the government, the largest since Amtrak's debut in 1971. Modernizing and expanding national high-speed rail is among the Department of Transportation's top priorities. Meanwhile, private companies are dabbling with the Hyperloop, a train that travels through a tube where there's no air resistance to slow it down. The concept works on paper, but it's proved difficult to make comfortable and cost-effective. Still, U.S. rail passengers have much to look forward. And how about a little humor in uniform? And there's a picture here of what looks like a Marine Corps obstacle course, and a big drill sergeant standing in front of the thing, and the obstacle course has the usual swinging hoops and the things in the wall, but the first thing is a hopscotch chart. At a staff briefing in Korea, a pilot told us about a flight he made through a mountain pass during a storm. It was so bad that he was forced to turn back. "Gentlemen," said, still shaken, "it's better to be down here on the ground wishing you were up there than be up there wishing you were down here." The chaplain disagreed. "Maybe in your line of work, Captain, but not mine." "Should you join the Navy fighter pilot training school known as Top Gun?" Do not quote from the eponymous movie the former Top Gun instructor, Guy Bus Snodgrass, told Business Insider, that those ignoring his warning will be fined $5 by instructors. We're an Army family. So it was a surprise when our 8-year-old declared that he wanted to join the Marines when he grew up because they have the coolest song. He then went on to sing his version of it. From the halls of Bazooka to the shores of Naval Sea, we're proud to claim the title of the United States Marine. As a former Marine, I can sympathize with that. How about some smart vacation deals ahead? Here's how you can enjoy a luxury trip or upgrade the one you got planned without breaking the bank. Destinations Unlimited. Are you a city person, a beach person, an adventure lover, or activity seeker? Luxury travel to places such as diverse as the beaches of Brazil and Antarctic coast, or to cities like Paris or vineyards in Bordeaux, can be budget-friendlier than you think. There are even deals to be had at some of the top golf resorts. With the world well past the pandemic's peak, Americans are showing a strong thirst for travel in 2023. Almost a quarter of us plan to travel more for leisure this year than last, according to a U.S. Travel Association study. Vacation rental bookings are up, flights are full, itineraries are ambitious. Travel is back full force, says Mary Cropper, a travel advisor based in Boston. People are coming out of the woodwork after the pandemic, really investing a lot of time and energy to curate the perfect trip. And since demand is up, leisure travel prices continue to stay high. Airline tickets may be slightly cheaper than in 2022. A ticket costing $400 last summer might hit at around $350 this year, according to travel booking site Hopper. But that's still higher than pre-pandemic rates. And inflation has jacked up costs for everything, from hotels to rental cars to restaurants. But with some foresight, research, and perhaps the help of a good travel advisor, it's still possible to arrange a big trip you've been dreaming about without having to start selling off your furniture. Here's how. Number one, new places to go. Find out where your dollar goes further. It's easy to max out your travel budget when a destination is a perennial price of domestic locale like Maui or New York City. But with the dollar staying strong during the global economic downturn, this might be the year to make the most of favorable exchange rate. At press time, the dollar was still performing at relatively highs against the euro, Japanese yen, and Chinese yuan, a.k.a. renminbi. In 2014, the British pound was worth about $1.70. Now it's worth about $1.20. The Argentine peso, Costa Rican colon, and Brazilian real are all at a discount of late, too. So a fab 5-day star retreat at any one of these destinations might now be within reach. Identify emerging destinations. Balking at the cost of a given trip, whether it's a beach all-inclusive or a more complex itinerary, consider another sweet spot in the same vicinity. Keith Walden, a travel advisor based in Austin, Texas, suggests talking to a destination specialist who is an authority on the area. Maybe you're interested in the Amalfi Coast but don't want to pay the high season rates, he says. A destination specialist might steer you toward the more affordable Tuscan coast, where there are gorgeous towns to explore and where you can hop on a train to Florence for a day trip. Exchange rates against U.S. currency were particularly favorable in these countries at press time. One U.S. dollar equals 82 seconds of a British pound, 200 Argentine pesos, 5.25 Brazilian reals, and 549 Costa Rican colones. Go during shoulder season. Timing your travel right can save serious money. Prices are lower and crowds sparser during a location's off-peak shoulder season. So go to Mexico City in March, the Grand Canyon in October, and Hawaii in spring. The weather can be just as good or even better than in high season. Make the most of shoulder season. If you aren't at the mercy of a school schedule and don't need to travel when everyone else is in July and early August, for example, you can stretch your budget by traveling at off-peak times, when hotel prices can be as much as 50% lower. Along with general prices, you might find weather almost as good or better. But because shoulder seasons aren't at the same time everywhere, hit the internet or ask a travel advisor familiar with the area about specialized seasonal intel. You'll find fewer crowds and better deals visiting Hawaii in mid-April or May, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina in September, the Grand Canyon in October, or Mexico City in March. At Caribbean resorts, the June to November hurricane season can present significant discounts to purchase trip insurance. Book your flights early. People have the misconception that it's cheaper to go last minute, but things have changed since the pandemic, says Jai Spann, founder of Spanning the Globe Tours. Instead of flying half-full flights, airlines are canceling them. The bottom line is that they don't need your last-minute fare anymore, so you're better off shopping early. To understand what you should realistically expect to pay and what's a deal, Span recommends getting familiar with their route's usual and predicted cost at sites such as Google Flights, Hopper, and SkyCenter. The cheapest day to book on average is Sunday, according to a recent report in the Airlines Reporting Corp and Expedia. The most expensive tends to be Friday. Starting a domestic trip on a Wednesday versus Sunday or Monday can save you up to 15%. Off the beaten path. And there's a picture here of Italy's Tuscan coast. Has vistas dramatic as those in the ever-popular Amalfi, but has fewer tourists and lower prices, too. To experience La Dolce Vita, check out Porto Ercole. From here, you can take day trips to Siena, Lucca, and Florence. Beautiful Mediterranean coast, gorgeous-looking place. Find a more flexible travel credit card. If you're a frequent traveler with a co-branded airline credit card, you might want to switch to a flexible travel rewards card. They have significant advantages, says Sinitra Holbrook, credit card editor for Points Guy, a credit card and travel website. That's because the points with co-branded cards are good only with the airline the issuing bank partners with, whereas transferable rewards cards let you choose among many. Say you want to book rewards to travel to Europe. With transferable points, you could choose the airline with the best availability, point value, and route options. There are downsides. You may lose airline-specific perks, such as being able to check a free bag. You also lose access to the airline's lounge if your co-branded card grants you that. For those just getting into travel rewards game, Holbrook recommends the Chase Sapphire Preferred Card, which carries a $95 annual fee but an impressive 60,000-point sign-up bonus that can use with 14 airlines and hotel partners. With this card, you accrue up to 5 points per dollar spent on travel purchases and 3 points for dining. For frequent luxury travels, Holbrook recommends cards as Capital One Venture X Rewards Credit Card and the Platinum Card from American Express. They have steeper annual fees, $395 and $695 respectively, but bearing benefits like statement credits for travel purchases, $300 for Capital One, $400 combined between airline and hotel for Amex, along with other bonuses like concierge services, complimentary elite status at certain hotels, and access to some swank airport lounges. Great places to stay. One price for everything. All-inclusive resorts can be luxurious these days, but the fancy ones have the same everything-included pricing that makes them a deal if you like to drink or eat well. Thiakos Resort on the Greek island of Kos offers a dramatic setting and Michelin-starred chefs. Great places to stay. Go luxury camping or glamping. The fresh air trend that gained speed during the pandemic has shown no signs of slowing down. Case in point, the growing network of natural parks, adjacent safari-inspired accommodations from Under Canvas, where you can have a unique overnight experience near some of America's natural wonders without needing to buy a boatload of gear or do it. The locations near Yellowstone, Zion, Grand Canyon, Acadia, and other national parks offer restaurants, adventure concierge services, and en-suite bathrooms. Nights in Under Canvas locations start under $200. And check out Terramore, the Campground Network KOA's entry into glamping, glamorous camping, featuring frette linens and Wi-Fi in each tent. In Bar Harbor, Maine, the resort at Paws Up in Greenhoff, Montana, features 36 ultra-lux tents on the Blackfoot River. Try better all-inclusive. If the term all-inclusive makes you think of watered-down drinks and bad buffet food, sure. Places like those are still around. But a growing number of resorts that are all-inclusive, meaning one pays a flat fee per traveler, which generally includes lodging, food, drinks, and some activities, are luring guests by leveling up. Palamaya, the House of Aya on the Mayan Riviera in Mexico, for example, features swim-up suites, yoga programs, and meditation sessions. On the Greek island of Kos, Icos is presenting a new all-inclusive concept, dining out at a local restaurant as part of your all-inclusive cost. All-inclusives are about having no hidden surprises, Walden says. Some people want to put their wallet away and not have to think about signing another bill. Look for a historic hotel. If you are headed to the Iberian Peninsula in Spain, consider a stay at one of the 90-plus Paradores, a network of hotels converted beginning in the 1920s from architecturally significant or restored historic buildings and castles. Take Parador de Corias at the former monastery built in the 11th century. You'll find luxury accommodations with sweeping countryside views, along with a spa, restaurant, and pool. In Portugal, you'll find over 40 posudas, also restored historic sites. Paradores and posudas tend to feature elevated local fare and beautifully appointed rooms, some for under 100 euros per night, including meals. Book a ritzy rental. Compared with staying at a hotel, comfortable luxury rentals with amenities like well-equipped kitchen and swimming pool can lower costs on food, drinks, entertainment, and transportation, especially if you're traveling with a group. You're also likely to have more authentic experience staying in an area where the locals live. In addition, Airbnb and Vrbo considered alternative options such as Airbnb Lux, One Fine Stay, and Plum Guide for plush rentals. Booking a home to stay using points is an option, too, via Homes and Villas by Marriott Bonvoy. Get the package deal. Carefully crafted luxury packages that include flights, hotels, rental cars, and meals can cost a lot less than you spend to book each piece separately. Costco, for one, offers members multiple packages deals to Ireland that include stops in Dublin and respites along the coast. Number 3, deals and discounts. Request a room upgrade. Beyond asking nicely, you're most likely to get a room upgrade if you're a member of a hotel's loyalty program, and even more likely if you carry its co-branded credit card. Travel advisors can help, too. If you already have your eyes on a luxury property, you might search online for a travel advisor that has a preferred agency status with that brand, whether it's for Four Seasons, Mandarin Oriental, Rosewood, or something else. Preferred agencies might give their clients a complimentary upgrade plus breakfast for two daily. Spa credits, and even airport transfers, says Walden, the travel advisor in Austin. You can access that just by booking through a travel agency with a standing in that program. Find a package deal. Even if you're a savvy traveler adept at shopping for flights, resorts, cars, and cruises a la carte, don't dismiss package deals put together by a reputable travel agent or your favorite warehouse club. Indeed, Costco can book members to Botswana, Ireland, Bordeaux, and beyond. The surprisingly luxe travel packages are available both in-store and online and are backed with clear cancellation policies and the retailer's robust customer service. Perks like free transfers, credits, and meals are often included. To make sure the deal's a good one, double-check fares against those on airline booking sites. Booking site Expedia also features an array of package deals sorted by interest from golf vacations in Palm Springs, California, to couples getaway in Paris. Take a cruise. Cruise itineraries are getting more and more interesting, with slow-speed European river barge cruises surging in popularity along with luxury expedition cruises to places like the Arctic Circle. Look to outfitters like Hurtigruten for bucket list itineraries like circumnavigating Iceland, a 9-day trek for $4,721, or a 7-day Galapagos Islands expedition cruise from $6,000. On the lower end price of the spectrum, or the megaship sailing from the world's busiest passenger ports. Deals for those can often be had if you book very early or closer to the departure date. Since the cruise lines make a large portion of their money from onboard purchases, they seek to sell full ships. Check sites like Cruise Sheets for bargains. Consider 4 stars over 5. If you're looking for booking a luxury stay in Europe, you can save money by opting for a 4-star hotel rather than a 5-star and get much the same experience. The star rating is very strict in Europe, and there are some super luxury properties that don't get a 5-star rating because they don't have a top-level restaurant or room service. But if you're in the heart of Paris or another European city that's surrounded by great restaurants, you probably won't care. A few of Walden's favorite luxury value places are Pavilion Faubourg in Saint-Germain, Paris, often priced at a fraction of the price of 5-star hotels like the Shangri-La and the Ritz, the Chesterfield Mayfair in London, the Hotel Santa Maria de Vella in Florence, Italy, and the Climpton Charlotte Square in Edinburgh, Scotland. Scrimp here, splurge there. Visiting museums and other attractions get pricey. But in New York City, you might regret it if you let that stop you from going to the Guggenheim, the American Museum of Natural History, or the top of the Chrysler Building. Save on things like hotel breakfasts instead. At a cafe, you can have a biscotti and get a taste of the street life. Number 4. Secret addresses. Leverage blogs and social media. Doing some digital homework can lead you to the restaurants that locals love. Look to recent best-of guides from sites such as Eater and The Infatuation, or search for dining blogs. If you have Instagram, use that too. Social media makes it much easier to see what a restaurant or attraction is really like through vignettes and videos, says Spahn at Spahning the Globetrotters. Find a restaurant's hashtag on Instagram, then look at the most recent photos and videos, along with the glamorized takes. You'll see photos and videos of what the food on the place are really like. Try a tourist pass. Carrying a discount card with some of your destination city's most popular attractions might make you feel like a tourist, but that's okay. Do some research at operators such as CityPass and GoCity, and you might realize that you could save money by getting one or end up hitting locations you otherwise might have skipped. But check sure the math works in your favor. If you're planning on visiting just a few highlights, such as the American Museum of Natural History and the Empire State Building in New York, a two-choice GoCity Explorer Pass, $79, would cost you $3 more than paying those two admission fees separately. Alternatively, if you're planning on doing a wall-to-wall tour packed itinerary in a location like Oahu in Hawaii, a three-day all-city GoCity Pass, all-inclusive GoCity Pass, $229, could save you $475 per separate admission fee for Pearl Harbor Museums, a luau, Sea Life Park, a sailing trip, and other excursions. Free admission smarts. Across the globe, many institutions have specific days or nights of the week or month where admission is free or donation-based. Do the research and you could save a bunch. If your family has a membership to a local museum, zoo, or botanical garden, check to see if the reciprocal arrangements with other museums or cultural sites. The North American Reciprocal Museum Association, for example, offers free member benefits to over 1,200 institutions. Seek out the freebies. Museums worldwide often have specific times when admission is free. Plus, museums are already a member of may have reciprocal deals with museums of other institutions abroad. Now the question is, should you hire a travel advisor? These days, anyone can research and book cheap flights or cut-rate hotels. So what value does a travel advisor, a.k.a. a travel agent, provide? Plenty. From helping to fix mid-trip snafus to preventing you from making an itinerary, an advisor can help you build the trip of your dreams. What does a travel advisor do? A good one can get you places you otherwise couldn't go, leverage you their connections and experience. If your ticket includes truffle hunting in Tuscany or taking a vintage sailboat to a remote island in the Pacific, the right advisor will have the intel and connections to make it happen. They can also steer you away from newbie planning mistakes, such as booking an oceanfront property in Oahu, say, at a time of year when the surf's too rough to swim. What's a destination specialist? You'll notice that some advisors are tagged as destination specialists for places like Hawaii, Central Europe, Italy, or the Caribbean. They generally have a deeper knowledge and experience than most in a given area. Many have been accredited through the Travel Institute, a professional group. That destination is their passion, and they know it inside and out, says Keith Walden, a travel advisor based in Austin, Texas. They know the touristy areas and can send you to the stuff that's really worth your time. Now, how much do travel advisors cost? Ask about fees up front. Some advisors work tax-free and get compensation from hotels or resorts they book you in. This can work in your favor because you may land free perks like meal vouchers or upgraded rooms. If you're aware of an advisor suggesting a property for which they get a cut, find one who works for a fee instead. Some charge a flat-rate planning fee of $100 to $500 or more, based on the trip's length and complexity. You still might save money or get more from the money you're spending. Travel advisors can pinpoint where you should spend or save, based on your interests, says Mary Cropper, a travel advisor who specializes in national parks in the southwestern U.S. and is based in Boston. If I'm planning a tour of a few of the western parks, for example, I can avoid placing them in Sedona, Arizona on a weekend when the price will be higher. When you start to work with an advisor, you'll generally provide them with a budget. After doing your research, an advisor is likely to return to you with several itinerary options. How do I find one? Ask friends and family to recommend someone or do your own research. Google professionals in your area and look to the American Society of Travel Advisors, ASTA.org, for more recommendations. For Tuso, a network of agencies with more than 20,000 advisors, is a resource geared for luxury travel. Travel Plus Leisure magazine also curates a list of advisors worth looking into. Once you've come up with a few options, talk to them and see whether their experience and expertise suits your needs and budget. You're also looking to see if an advisor understands your interests and style of travel. CR's Home Entertainment Buying Guide. We've got the latest ratings on TVs, smart speakers, headphones, and more, so you can get the perfect setup for your home at your best prices. Once upon a time, enjoying a great home entertainment system required a lot of money for the equipment, and often the help of professional installers to make it all work together. But today, top-quality entertainment is much more affordable and far easier to set up. Take TVs. You can find a big-screen 65-inch set recommended by Consumer Reports for selling under $1,000. Add in a high-quality soundbar, and your living room tunes into a home movie theater with multi-channel audio that surrounds you, and in some cases even projects overhead, for a truly immersive experience. When it comes to music, you can get terrific-sounding audio from wireless speakers that connect to your Wi-Fi network and even let you sync music throughout the house. That kind of multi-room audio used to be a splurge, requiring products and wire that were hard to set up. No longer. Many newer entertainment products can work together, and they have multiple roles. For instance, the same smart speakers that play your tunes can also tell you the weather or turn on the lights. You just need to ask using voice commands. One thing has become trickier, though. Sifting through the myriad choices. To start, consult the ratings that we'll show and run through, which cover hundreds of CR-tested products that can help you bring convenient, affordable, and luxurious entertainment to your home. And believe me, we'll run through some of those, but there are a lot of them. Headphones. Fit matters. Some headphones might be too tight or chafe your ears, so try before you buy. Whether you buy online or in person, find a vendor with a good return policy. On or over-the-ear headphones can provide music lovers with an inexpensive route to great sound. Handily outperform speakers that need to fill an entire room with music. They also feel more luxurious than earbuds, especially when you're relaxing at home immersed in your favorite albums. Our advice, if you'll be wearing your headphones when you're sharing space with others, go to a closed-back model, which doesn't leak that much sound. Headphones with active noise canceling can subdue outside noises, and many models let you reduce the level of noise canceling or even pipe in outside sound for when you take the headphones out of the house. But if you'll be using the headphones most often when you're alone, consider open-back models, which have mesh instead of solid plastic on the outside of the housing. The best of these can make your music sound more natural, closer to the experience of live music. Finally, while earbuds often get lost or broken, on or over their headphones can deliver years of great sound. If you're going to splurge anywhere, headphones can be the place to do it. Words of caution. While checking out headphones in a store, bring some favorite songs, ones that you can hear in the subtleties, and beware of bass-heavy models. These might sound good at first, but become tiresome after a few days. And let's run through a few of those. Bose, nose-canceling headphones, 700, scored an 88, cost $330. They're over-the-ear with a headband. Apple AirPods Max, 81, $550. They're over-the-ear with a headband. Bowers & Wilkins PS52, $400. They're over-the-ear. Shure Ionic 50, $300. Bang & Olufsen Boa Play, $500. Bose Quiet Comfort 45 at $280. Sony WX-M4, $350. Sony WH-1000, $400. Microsoft Surf headphones, $250. Noise-canceling wireless home studio-style headphones continue. And these are all scored in the 70s. Sears by Dre, Monoprice, Sound by Anchor, Shure, Clear, Beats by Dre, JBL, Marshall Pure Sound, Leds JBL. Wireless home studio-style stereo headphones, V-Moda at $180, and JBL Tune at $50. Home studio-style stereo headphones, Grado RS2X at $550, Grado R22 5X, $225, Grado SR80X, $125, Grado SR32 325X, $295, and Grado SR12 125X at $175. Smart speakers. Smart speakers that use a digital assistant, Amazon Alexa for example, will perform their smart function almost identically, from delivering the news to controlling a door lock. What differentiates them increasingly is their sound quality. If you already own a great-sounding wireless speaker, you can add smart functionality by pairing it via Bluetooth with a cheap device such as Amazon Echo Dot or Google's Nest Mini. The smart speakers with the better audio quality have gone beyond just sounding smart for smart speakers to sounding good for smart speakers. Now they can really do justice to your favorite music. Check out the sound qualities in our ratings, but not everyone is looking to play music from their new speaker. If you simply want to set timers in the kitchen or ask for occasional weather reports, you can buy a basic smart speaker for less than $50. The leading smart speaker and voice-activated digital assistant companies, Amazon, Apple, and Google, all have their own music streaming services, and compatibility with rival platforms is often less than stellar. If most of your music comes from one of those companies, sticking with your own devices could make sense. Think carefully before buying a smart speaker with a screen. In the kitchen, these can let you watch cooking videos, but they also occupy valuable counter space. While they make video calls easy, the built-in cameras may cause privacy concerns. In addition, these models tend to fall short in sound quality. Smart speaker, the Amazon Echo Studio. It's $175. Then there's the Sonos Move at $400, the Amazon Echo Show 10 at $250, and the Amazon Echo 4th generation with Echo Subwoofer, $290. Apple Home Pod, 2nd generation, at $300. Bose Home Speaker, $500 at $380. Amazon Echo 4th generation at $80. Bose Home Speaker, $300 at $200. And Bose Portable Home at $400. Wireless speakers. Today's best speakers deliver stellar sound without the old-school clutter of wires. Unlike many other devices, they rarely become obsolete. A great speaker you buy today should deliver satisfying sound for years to come. Our advice, if you've got a large home, consider speakers with multi-room capability, like models from Sonos or Denon. Over time, you can expand a single speaker into a full home system that lets you sync your music throughout your house or beam different content to separate rooms using a smartphone app. If you choose one of the many speaker models that can be paired in stereo, you've got a solid path if you want to improve your sound quality later on. Wireless speakers can work through your Wi-Fi network, Bluetooth, or both. Bluetooth-only models tend to be portable, ideal for going to the beach. But home speakers with Wi-Fi connections tend to sound best, and they make it easier to pipe music throughout your home. Unless you plan host parties all the time, it's best to take a pass on models with unnecessary bells and whistles like LED lighting effects and karaoke inputs. And it's wise to look for medium-sized speakers that are too big. Those that are too big tend to be thumpy and bass-heavy, while tiny ones usually can't deliver enough room-filling volume. Expert tip. For the best sound, place your speakers at ear level, and if you've got a stereo pair, spread them apart at equal height from the floor and equidistant from both back and side walls. And here's a listing of the top ones. The Edifier S1000 at $400 uses Bluetooth. Edifier S1000 DB at $360 uses Bluetooth. The Sonos 5 at $550 uses Wi-Fi. The Edifier R2000 at $330 uses Bluetooth. The Como Audio Solo uses Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and that's at $115. The Edifier at $550 uses Bluetooth. The AirPulse 100 at $1,000 uses Bluetooth. The Denon Home 250 at $400 Wi-Fi Bluetooth. Denon Home 350 uses Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And soundbars. Many TVs these days have great picture quality, but fall short when it comes to audio, which is especially noticeable when you're watching a movie with a dramatic soundtrack. The easy fix, a soundbar. Most models will improve on a typical TV sound quality, and many can supply a surround sound experience. Most soundbars have several speakers, plus electronics to power them and one thin enclosure that you connect to your TV. Some have separate subwoofer, usually wireless, and a few have let you add rear speakers to create a full surround sound system. Want an even more immersive experience? Get a soundbar that supports Dolby Atmos or DTS:X audio, which can make the sound seem to come from overhead as well as all around you. Soundbars with built-in Wi-Fi can directly access online music services such as Pandora and Spotify. Many models are smart speakers that let you use voice commands to raise the volume, change inputs, and sometimes control a TV or other smart devices in your home. A few models also have a built-in streaming player, a typical Roku, for streaming shows and movies right from the soundbar. Words of caution. Some basic models called 2.0 or 2.1 channel systems lack the dedicated center channel speaker found on 3.0 or 3.1 channel models, but that center channel can make dialogue easy to understand. Expert tips. Soundbars with similar scores can sound quite different, depending on factors including your room size. Make sure you can change your soundbar if you don't love it once you set it up. And here's a listing of the top 8 or so. Sonos Arc Airbounder at $900 is a non-surround expandable to a surround. The Samsung HWS-800 at $700 is also a non-surround, but it is expandable to a surround. The Samsung 8WB67C at $260 is surround. The Bose Soundbar 700 at $450 is non-surround, expandable to surround. Samsung HWQ700B, $550, is non-surround, but it's expandable to surround. The Vizo M512 at $500 is surround. The Sonos Beam Gen 2 at $450 is surround. And also is a non-surround but expandable surround. And the Vizo Elevated at $1,000 is surround. And how about some life in these United States for a little giggle? I was working out in the gym when I noticed a man in street clothes who stood watching me and others for about 20 minutes before leaving. He came a second day, staying for half an hour. On the third day, I asked him what he was doing. He smiled and said, "My doctor said I have to go to the gym." I ran into a neighbor walking his dog. It was his first pet, so I made sure to lavish praise on the cute pup. Not knowing the gender, I asked if it was spayed or neutered. Neither replied. She's a shepherd mix. My 5-year-old granddaughter was fascinated as she watched her great-grandmother remove her dentures, so much so that she just had to ask, "Does your tongue come out too?" At a dude ranch in Texas, a cowboy preparing horses asked my wife if she wanted a Western or English saddle. "What's the difference?" she asked. "One has a horn and one doesn't," he said. "The one without the horn is fine. I don't expect we'll run into much traffic." My husband was so excited to finally have a kid who shared his love for baseball, until the bottom of the eighth when she loudly asked, "Is this baseball or football?" And a couple of quotable quotes. "I went to Africa as a scientist. I left the jungle as an activist," Jane Goodall. "Swing hard in case you hit it," Bernie Williams, former professional baseball player. "Just give yourself credit for even the smallest steps," Tig Notaro, comedian. "You're never too young to start an empire and never too old to chase a new dream," Manjit Mihos, entrepreneur. "Creativity lies in the everyday. The great ideas come when you're washing the dishes," Jim Parsons, actor. And with that, we're close to running out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so very much for listening.